Just a couple minutes. Grab your Bibles. I don't have notes for you tonight. You can maybe flip over that quiz sheet that you had and write some notes on there. But go to James tonight, James chapter 5. In light of even Darcy's ministry and what the future may hold, there's a lot of questions right now in our life. We are literally, in many ways, living day to day, are we not? And we know that the scriptures tell us that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's not worry about tomorrow. Matthew chapter 6, 34. Its problems will be there when we get there. We have today. We're to use today well. Every day is a gift from the Lord, and we take it that way. And yet, we do desire to have to look ahead to see what maybe we can be planning and preparing for. And if you're like me and like most humans, as we've even seen in the news, especially over this past week, a lot of impatience, a lot of frustration, wanting things to change. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have obviously a supreme example in Jesus Christ who endured. The word patience and endurance are really synonymous words. If not, we find in the scriptures that they are often the same word, translated from the same word. And we are called to endure. And life is really a long term. It's not a sprint. It's a long term race. And we are to endure. So we have patience. So down in verse number 7, there's three illustrations here of patience. And I think they're very applicable to our day and age today. Patience really is a virtue. I know that we've said that in our culture and time, but it is sure hard to come by, isn't it? James shares with us here some illustrations of patience that show us how to be patient people, emulating our dear Savior Jesus Christ in his life work, and also living out the truth that we one day look forward to eternity. But until then, we patiently endure. We wait for it. Verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Notice that the end of our patience is his coming. We are looking forward to the day when the Lord will return and in many ways usher in the end times, the very end. We understand eschatologically the program that he's laid out already. After his rapture, there will come 7 years of tribulation, followed by 1,000 years of Christ's reign on the earth, followed by the eternal state. That's a simple outline, but we are in this moment, in this day, being patient to the coming of the Lord. Could be tonight. Wouldn't that be great? We would rejoice in that. Behold, now he's going to give several illustrations to help us learn what patience is about and why we can endure. Behold, the husbandman, the farmer, the crop farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Just to give you a simple description real quick, that early rain actually in the land of Israel would take place in the fall time. They planted in what we would call our fall season. That's when they had the rain that would soften the soil. And the latter rain would come February, March, right when the harvest needed to be matured. We understand some of that in our agrarian culture here. We know that the rains come at an appropriate time, or, for instance, the corn won't have all the kernels it needs to have or won't grow strong, all those things. Same thing. The farmer, the husbandman, is patient for those rains. Not something he can control, is it? Outside of his control, he's trusting the Lord. Be also, verse 8, patient. Stablish your hearts, or make it stable, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It hasn't escaped James. We are looking forward to that coming of the Lord. Like the farmer who has patience for the fruit of the earth, we are to be patient and establish our hearts. Now he's not done with the illustration. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. This really is helping us to see in the midst of our waiting. This really hits us right where we live right now. In the midst of our waiting to get out, do you ever feel like you're caged through the weeks here? I can't get out. I don't want to go out. I don't want to get sick. Well, then, grudge not, murmur not, grumble not one against another, brethren. Have you had trouble in your home this past week, kids? It's like you're just sick and tired of your big brother who's just... He's you understand, moms and dads or husbands and wives, you're around each other maybe a little bit more than normal. Are you grudging against each other? You see, as I wait for the Lord, I need to demonstrate a patient and enduring character. And so I need to not be impatient with God's plan and timing, and as well, not be impatient with the people that God has put around me. When I am demonstrating patience, and here's the truth, number one, that the farmer illustrates. The harvest is worth waiting and working for. The harvest is worth waiting and working for. He has long patience, waiting for the early and latter rain. The harvest never comes in the same season, the same time as the planting. I don't know what all God is doing during this time where we're cloistered, where we're put in a place and say, stay there. But he is doing some good work. And we as believers need to trust our God to wait patiently. What is God doing in Darcy's life? This didn't surprise him that there's going to be what appears to be a delay in her going on with what plans. We felt like the Lord was directing her steps. So come May 5th, she probably will not be flying to Europe. That's okay. We'll wait patiently. But in the meantime, let's pray that Darcy doesn't get upset with Dory and Drew. Grudge not, okay? You see, as I wait patiently for the Lord and trust him, knowing that he's in control of my life, just like the farmer knows he's in control, God's in control of the rain, I can't control that. So I will be patient with those that God has put around me and not grudge against them, not grumble and murmur, but rejoice that they are God's gift to me at this time. So let's be like the farmer. The harvest is coming. The worth of our life and all that God gives us to do is the reward is coming. Let's be found faithful, working for it and waiting for it. It could be that the Lord's return could be another 100 years from now. More than likely, unless our name is Claire, more than likely, none of us will be here in 100 years, okay? Okay. And we will then have already reaped our harvest. Let's be patient for that day and work faithfully, like the farmer does, work faithfully for it. Go on to verse 10, another picture, another illustration. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. You see, the prophets were patient as well. And it was God's will for them to suffer even as they spoke the word of the Lord. We have discussed even among ourselves, and you've probably talked on the phone, what's going to change as a result of COVID-19, of the pandemic of 19 and 20? It could be that the government will feel like they have a lot more ability to shut us down, to hem in our freedoms of religion. How will we respond to that suffering? You see, here's the truth that we must always know. Like the prophets, the Lord is worth speaking for, even if it means suffering for him. Yes, as law-abiding citizens, it is to be our character to obey the civil authorities. God has given them their authority, Romans chapter 13. And yet we may actually someday suffer here in America for speaking for the Lord. What should I do about it? Stop speaking? The prophets didn't stop speaking. Keep speaking. God wants us to be the tool in his hand to share the truth of the gospel and the truth of sanctification, helping one another grow in the Lord. We need to be his spokesperson, no matter what suffering we may endure because of it. We are in many ways blessed people in this country. As we read about our missionaries who deal in another situation and under other circumstances, other governments, the persecutions that they face. Even today, as I or in the recent days, as I read about our brethren in China, brethren in Muslim countries who face persecution on a regular basis, what we've experienced in just a minuscule of shutting down, that's normal for them and far worse. God has asked us that in this season, this time before he returns, before the coming of the Lord, let us, like the prophets, be willing to always speak for him. Never, never hide your Savior. Let me remind you of the morning message. May I, like a true disciple of Christ to follow him, not be ashamed of my dear Savior and Lord. May I continue to speak for him. Finally, let's go on to the final verse, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure, blessed. We want to emulate their life, those who are faithful and that endure, the word patience. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Like the prophets, Job too himself suffered not because of his wrongdoing, but because of God's great plan. And yet, he was patient. I know that as we read the book of Job, we would sometimes wonder, well, it looks like Job struggled. Yes, he did. He was made of the same stuff as we are. And yet, God's characteristic of him is this, as recorded in James. Job was patient. He endured. Here's our principle. Life, when walking with the Lord, is worth living. Life, when walking with the Lord, is worth living. Job lived out his days, and though he struggled with saying, God, I feel like this is unfair, and I want my day before you in judgment. And then he heard God's great rebuke, and we won't walk through all the book of Job. You know my love for that book. It speaks to my own heart, because we all face suffering. God in his graciousness draws Job back, and Job repents of his rebellion and crying out to say life is unfair. And he accepts the suffering, never finding out the question that he asked, why? Why am I suffering, God? He finds out the joy of who? Who is with me? Who is greater? Who is ordaining these circumstances of my life? As much as the world would like to think that they can control things, one of the amazing testimonies of COVID-19 is the reality that no human, no nation is in control. God is. And living for the Lord in the midst of something that seems utterly beyond our control is absolutely worth the living. Why? Well, he tells us, because the end of the Lord. We see that God's end is always good for the believer. He is very pitiful, full of kindness. He's full of tender mercy. You know that the theme of the Old Testament is God's great mercy. We've talked about that as we've walked on Wednesday nights in the past years through the entire scriptures. And we've seen that that overall theme is God is merciful to us, to his nation, to any who would come to him. He is a God of mercy. And so we see that repeated here for Job. God is full of tender mercy. He loyally loves his children. The patient life is the, see that in verse 11? The blessed life, the happy life. This world knows nothing of God's wonderful blessings. It's those of us that have come to trust Christ as our own Savior from sin, allowing him to rule and reign in our life. And though we may not ever have all the answers to the why question, why COVID-19? We do have the answer to the who question. Who? Who allowed it? Who's overseeing it? Who's directing it? Who's working it for his good? Jesus is, and I can be happy in that. I can be blessed in that. Of all people, you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ should be patient. Have you found yourself itching to get out, wanting this to be done? I was certain that we would come to this point. I told my boys early on, I said, there will come a point where you're going to see our nation is going to rise up and say, let me free. There is a silver lining to that. I'm grateful for the freedoms that we have in our country, the civil freedoms that we enjoy that allow for us to enjoy the God-given freedoms, the natural rights of worshiping the Lord according to the dictates of our conscience, the freedom to assemble, the freedom to have property, to have value and worth in the world that God has given to every human, an understanding of individual freedoms and rights. But believer, the character of our heart ought not to be rebellious and impatient. We need to be patient, letting God do all of that he wants in this time. So we pray for endurance. Lord, give me patience to endure another day under shelter in place. Give me patience to be a sweet testimony to those when I do go out that I'm loving life, sharing the grace of God to any that would hear or see it on my face. May we be of all people patient. The harvest is coming. God's word is worth taking the suffering. His end is happy. It's full of kindness and full of great mercy. May we live, not for right now, but for the end. Like Job, like the prophets, like a good old farmer. So this week, believer, dear church family, be patient. One day we will look back at this, chuckle at some of the things that happened, but we'll also look back in awe, seeing what God has done. We can't see it fully now. In fact, we probably never will in this life. That's okay. God's in charge. We'll trust him. But may we endure to the end, demonstrating our love for the Lord and our trust in a great God who cares for us, watches over us, whose end is full of kindness and full of mercy. Let's pray. Lord, big picture truths tonight that have really practical application for where we live right now. Thank you for the work that you allowed Darcy to accomplish this past year in the Philippines. We pray that you would, in your good way, in your kindness and in your mercy, direct her steps in the months, days, years ahead. But then we pray specifically for us tonight too, as a church family, and for any that would be listening in. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, help us to live patiently with endurance, knowing that your coming is coming. So help us to live looking to that end. May we, like the farmer, work towards a good harvest, a good spiritual harvest, that well done, thou good and faithful servant. May we, like the prophet, endure, even in times of suffering, still being bold in our speaking the word of God to all who would hear. Lord, may we, like Job, rejoice in one day seeing your end. And that end came for Job even in this life. May we patiently endure until you give us those blessings. Happy is he that endures, knowing that the end of the Lord is full of kindness, full of tender mercy. So we look forward to that day. There may be times in our own life, whether it's COVID-19 or other challenges and problems in our life, that it's hard to endure. Would you give us the grace to do that? Looking forward to the day when you will put us in the place where we rejoice in your kindness and mercy. Thank you for all that you're doing for us. Thank you for all that you're accomplishing beyond our comprehension. Help us, Lord, this week to endure. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.